Psalm 22 is the psalm of the good shepherd. Psalm 23 is the psalm of the great shepherd. And Psalm 24 is the psalm of the chief shepherd. This morning, because this being Resurrection Day, Easter weekend, the Passover was Friday. That had to be so that the suffering of Christ for all the sins of the world. And the Psalm 22 is the account of the suffering, and it gives it in greater detail, more detail so than in the four Gospels. So we're just going to read along and look, and then I have just a short video clip, 3 minutes and 42 seconds, that'll put everything we've had and we've experienced today together in this place. It'll bring it all together. So as we look at Psalm 22, first 21 verses, Jesus is the good shepherd and the office of the prophet. Verses 22 through 26, Jesus is the good shepherd and the office of the priest. And 27 through 31, Jesus is the good shepherd and the office of king. Jesus is the good shepherd, first of all, in the office of a prophet. Look with me, if you will, at verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and so far from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I am not silent. There were 33 prophecies fulfilled at the cross, on the day of the cross there. And these first words that come out of his mouth from there on the cross in the hours of darkness are recorded here in Psalm 22 in verses 1 through 6. Here in these verses we see that the Messiah, Christ, is abandoned by the Father and is abandoned by the Holy Spirit. He cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is a description of what happened on the cross. And the very last verse of chapter 22 also tells what happened at the cross. Look with me at verse 31. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, so that he hath done this thing, that he has done this. And so the words of my roaring found in verse 1, taken from anguish and pain. Why have you forsaken me? The Hebrew word is that of lama, which means to show why, as to purpose, or why. What is the reason for all of this happening? A lot of people question, why did he have to go to the cross and why did he have to suffer? But here in the Hebrew and there in the New Testament, it is both a cry of despair of one in great agony and pain. It is also a request to the Father to show why all of this is done. Someone has written this. It says, at Calvary, a righteous God was demanding the full price of the remission of sin, so that he who knew no sin was made sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. There was a great gulf set that separated us from a holy God, and Christ became this sin so that we might not experience this separation any longer. Therefore, beloved Christian, he tasted death for us, experiencing in those 3 hours of darkness what every last soul will experience in eternity for hell. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, the Bible says, I am the good shepherd. Jesus spoke it. He says, the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Look with me at verse 2. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I am not silent. And in the night season, and I'm not silent, there is no answer from the Father. There's no rest from calling unto God. Don't you think that's amazing? He would cry, why have you forsaken me? Yet he kept crying out and calling unto God. And he's found in verse 3, he says, but you are holy, O you who inhabit the praises of Israel. He did not foolishly charge God. But he expresses there from the cross every confidence in God his Father, by making an appeal unto him. A righteous God was demanding the full price for the remission of sins. And he says in verse 4, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you did deliver them. Verse 5, they cried unto you and they were delivered. They trusted in you and were not confused. And he said, he trusts. But then we come to verse 6. Verse 6 is a very powerful and a very important passage, a very important verse. It says, but I am a worm and am no man, a reproach of men and despised at the people. The reference here is to a worm called the crimson crocus worm. In the Hebrew, that is the word for this crimson crocus worm, from which scarlet dye was obtained to color the robes of kings. To yield that royal dye, a lowly worm had to be crushed. This would render Jesus' statement to meaning something to the effect, "I am like the crimson crocus." While on the cross, we can see that the Lord was indeed crushed beneath the load of our sin and the wrath and the curse of God. But the scarlet dye, His precious blood, provided us with robes of righteousness. Look with me at verse 17. It says, "And all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted in the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighted in Him.' But You are He who took me out of the womb. You did make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon You from the womb. You are my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." In these verses we see the enemies of Christ lashing out at Him, and we see Him calling out, "Trust, trust, trust." Trouble was here. Trouble was everywhere. His enemies were, in verse 12, "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths like a ravening and a roaring lion." He is under the exhaustion of the torture and exhaustion of the cross. Verse 14, "I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And You have brought me into the dust of death." The dust of death is the grave. Look at hell's assembly, verse 16. "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Look at verse 17. "Yeah, I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me." Verse 18 was fulfilled at the cross. "They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." Verses 19 through 21, we see the heart of God. "But be not far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for You have hurt me from the horns of the unicorns." And then verse 22 through 26, Jesus is the good shepherd and the office of a priest. "Look with me if you will. I will declare Your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise You. In the midst of the church, you that fear the Lord, praise Him. Also in the midst of Israel," beginning in the middle of 23, "all you seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All you seed of Israel, for He has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither has He hid His face from him. But when He cried unto Him, He heard." And then we see in "My praise shall be of Thee. In the great congregation I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever." And then verse 27 through 31, the good shepherd in the office of the king. Look with me. He's the coming king. Verse 27, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto Yahweh, and all the kindreds and the nations shall worship before Thee." In verse 28 and 29, He is the commanding king. "For the kingdom is Jehovah's, and He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him. And none can keep alive his own soul." And then in verse 30, He is the communicating king. "A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." And then finally, He has done this. Verse 31, "They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He has done this." Actually, it is talking about one word here in this verse and one word in the New Testament, which means finished. That's what the word means in verse 31. It means finished. It's similar to what Jesus spoke there on the cross It propels forward. It looks forward to the cross, where the completion of the Lord's redemptive work took place there. The Gospels record what the Lord said at the last. He cried, "It is finished." It is one word. It is tetelestai. It's a very strong word and a very powerful word. And it says, "It is finished." And it means it is absolutely finished. It is complete. It is done. There is no more to do. In Christ Jesus, all is complete. And there are 33 of these prophecies that were fulfilled there on that day. I would like, if you would, just to look at the screen for just a moment, 3 minutes and 42 seconds, and just kind of take in all that we've heard and all that's been said, all that's been read in this place today. And would you watch? And would you listen carefully?
It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is asleep. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilified. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denied. But they don't know that Sunday's are coming. Oh, it's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They roll him in scar. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's come. It's Friday. See Jesus walking the Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. And his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's come. It's Friday. The world's win. People are sinning. And evil's grim. It's Friday. The soldiers nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raised him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross. Feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, the earth trembles, the sky grows dark, my King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has come. And Satan's just a laugh. It's Friday. Jesus is dead. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It is only Friday. Sunday is a coming.